Shoot it off! Shoot with a gun! That's what the bullets are for, you twit!
She was hanging round in her small town crown with the king of shit mountain, the prom king clown. Tried to keep his grip, clutching to her hip. We locked eyes in that dive, and the king got clipped, and it was my mistake. I was asleep, but now I'm wide awake.
From Mid-City, New Orleans. Nola Trash Talk, I am the Prophet Joshua.
And I am Steve McGeegee.
And we're fresh off another mid-city shooting right around the corner from here.
Thank you for the soundtrack from She's All That.
No, it's not. I take pride in every Nola Trash Talk opening up with completely different music. Every show. And never know what's coming. Last week was Ill Bill. I don't even remember the week before. That's Dave House, Dave Hawes.
Yeah, the music video is Freddie Prinze Jr.
No, he's an awesome solo singer-songwriter from the punk band The Loved Ones. That's an awesome song. I mean, kind of a social distortion-y.
Dude, I heard a sick-ass country singer on the, like, and he's from Lafayette, and he's on the New York radio show I listen to. He just popped in the studio, and they were like, oh, sing us a couple songs. His name's Mark Broussard.
Did he pop in at Bayou Country Fest that dropped attendance-wise by 40,000 people last weekend?
God, they got murdered on that. Yeah.
Jesus, there's a whole, boycott New Orleans thing because of the residual effects of the statues from the greater Louisiana area.
Yeah.
Because before it was in Baton Rouge, and now, of course, that would be more of a draw, I guess, more central in the state of everyone out in the.
Yeah.
No offense to anyone out there, but in the boonies, you know, Acadiana, whatever they call it.
That's
it?
A good one.
What's the word? The Cajun.
The word, yeah.
The word, the thing.
Asian country.
All those people said, yeah, we go to Baton Rouge for it. It's in New Orleans now, the Superdome? Oh, boycott New Orleans. Fuck you. You've ruined history. And 40,000 people turned up their noses at it.
Well, Mrs. McGeezy had a better take on it. Well, she was like, we can go to Baton Rouge and stay at our friends' houses that we normally go to LSU, or go pay $300 a night for a hotel room.
Or go home, because you live in New Orleans.
Or go home. But most people that go to it don't live in New Orleans.
I mean, I'm sure everyone there had a wonderful time, but still, I mean, 40,000 is a pretty sharp drop.
What's
off.
What's funny
is
they moved it from Baton Rouge to New Orleans for the guaranteed payment because of the weather.
Yeah.
You know, they need the guaranteed payment. And the advertisers were like, we're not doing this anymore if it's going to fucking rain. So
you think it happens again next year?
Well, the beautiful part about it, I mean, that was stupid. But the best part about it was that it was such a beautiful day outside that it could have been easily entire stadium murdered. And they would have murdered entire stadium.
And then immediately after the event, it was a whole rainy week in New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly.
It was
like the perfect weekend to have it outside a Tiger Stadium.
Well, for all intents and purposes, it is now summer in the city, even though that doesn't start for 20 more days or so. June 3rd.
It's also the start of hurricane season.
Yeah, great.
AKA.
And the projections, you've seen it on the news anywhere you look. The projections from a quiet hurricane season have jumped to a busy hurricane season. Because we're predicting the future here.
The start of hurricane season every year is my B-Day, AKA number 32.
Enjoy that, Magic Johnson.
That's what I've been saying. Me and Magic Johnson have two uncurable diseases.
Okay, before we.
Mine is not AIDS.
Okay, I was just like, you don't want to go on record with that one. So the biggest story this week, before we jump into local things, is Kathy Griffin with the Donald Trump bloody head decapitation thing that got her in a bunch of hot water. And then, thankfully,
she tried to act like she was the victim.
I know. But the best part of this is now she's been removed from her New Year's Eve show. And I don't know if you've ever been sat down and forced to watch CNN's New Year's Eve show.
It's horrendous.
With her and
Anderson
Vanderbilt Cooper.
Yeah.
Worked real hard for his career, guys. It was awful. Every year.
I respect him, but never mind. But he's a Vanderbilt.
Yeah. So she's gone from that, and I was wondering, what could we do for, like, Mayor Mitch? Could we get a decapitated Mayor Mitch head? And, would we get any blowback from that? Would people just not give a shit? Is a city mayor low-hanging fruit?
I can tell you with the quickness.
I want a giant papier-mâché decapitated Mayor Mitch head on the pedestal at Lee Circle.
You would get a visit.
From who? From what?
From whom?
We barely have a police department. So what?
You get a visit.
What mayor Secret Service thing would come visit?
You would get a visit.
I would love it. I would love to interview the people visiting me for NOLA Trash Talk.
You get a visit from the troopers easily.
For a papier-mâché decapitated Mayor Mitchhead?
Well, I mean,
they can't afford to pay the troopers.
But you'd be goofing on Kathy Griffin, but like you would definitely, like it's kind of like she did it, so like anybody that goofs on her is now like it's like not as
open,
impactful.
Yeah, great.
But if you had done that before,
she was the first wave on the beach.
She's now, such now, a cunt. She, too.
Awful, ugh. Absolutely.
I mean.
I don't give a fuck who she's making fun of, whoever the president would have been. It could have been the last 8 presidents. Do them all. Yeah, I don't care. She's awful.
Her press conference was one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life. And the only reason I say that is because she tried to act like she was the victim. And she also tried to act like this was comedy. And she's like, I'm a comedian. And then she started doing bits. Like, she started doing bits during the press conference. And
trying to get a chuckle.
It was horrendous.
I think
the only person laughing was her attorney.
I think what happened with this was that people have just been waiting for her to like really screw up so they could finally bury Kathy Griffin and get her off television. Like CNN probably looked at their New Year's Eve show every year and was like, they were stuck in a contract with her. How do we get rid of her?
No, they have to get rid of her. But the thing is like,
if she does something dumb, let's just blow it out of proportion and then.
She's like, oh, I have my First Amendment whatever lawyer here. But the First Amendment says that you won't go to jail for that. What it doesn't say is that you won't lose money in advertisers because of that.
She's just not one of those loved people to get away with these things. But that was the big news. That was what dominated talk radio all week long. But let's talk about some local tragedy, as it were. We send our condolences out, as much as NOLA Trash Talk can do it, to that armored truck driver who got gunned down.
Boom.
Was it Mid-City again?
Yep.
Block is hot. On Tulane Avenue.
It's like four blocks away from here.
Yeah, several flaming blocks. I thought armored truck drivers traveled in twos, so these kind of things didn't happen. One was always in the truck, one's unloading. But this was a shootout between perpetrator and one armored truck guy.
Like, armored, but the thing is.
And if you remember from 4 years ago, the guy gunned down armored truck dude again at Claiborne and Carrollton's, that Chase Bank.
Capital One.
Oh, was the Capital One? No, it was a Chase.
Chase. Oh,
was the Chase at Claiborne and a Carrollton?
But even before that, it was a Capital One.
And there was a Capital One before that.
But just going down the block.
So anyway, the reward is out for any information leading to this dude's arrest. I think their initial description of him was he was wearing a bandana. So that narrows it down to about 30,000 people.
Oh, is it from Crime Stoppers?
Yeah, I believe so. And they really upped it because most people I know when they get killed, the reward out is only like $2,500. This is 50 grand.
Professor I went to lunch with yesterday is busting Crime Stoppers right now with Lee Zurich and Meg Gatto. They busting them.
How they do nothing?
Yep.
How they stop no crime at Crime Stoppers?
And their executive director makes $225 a year.
Oh, wow.
And how much their gross revenue?
For what? Creating? Whatever,
their gross revenue is $750, and her salary is $225.
And that's public information?
Yep. Public information.
How much crime have you stopped?
Zero.
How much crime?
You know how much they paid out in like
rewards?
It's like 40G.
Oh,
nothing.
How many people work for Crime Stoppers?
There's investigative.
Lee Zurich's already 20 blocks ahead of us.
It's actually not with Lee Zurich. It's with Meg Gatto at Fox, who actually graduated a year before us at Loyola, and my professor Patrick Lynch, and he. He busted the coroner.
Wait, you say Lee Zurich got beat to the chase on another great Louisiana purchase story?
And they pulled the forensic accountant from Lee Zurich. They pulled him. That same guy.
Oh, damn.
That's who took us to lunch yesterday.
Oh.
Beast.
Look at
Beast.
Look at the big leaguing over here.
Yep.
Where'd you have lunch yesterday, Steven?
Commanders.
Jesus Christ.
In the garden room at his table.
This is how different our lives are. Steven's at Commander's Palace having lunch casual. He's like, oh, it was about $1.60 lunch for four. It was easy. I'm like, what?
I didn't pay for it. I just saw it.
I'm getting the two entrees and two apps for $20 special.
That's what all of us got, and we all drank.
It was $160.
Four people?
There's booze in the Commander's, talking about how you're taking down Crime Stoppers.
Yep.
Chuckling, destroying
just
some.
Yucking it up.
How much do they make? $225 a year? Bring them down.
But with gross, you know, with gross revenues of $750, that's not, that's like, it doesn't equal. And it's like, what do you, and like, if you're a public,
but they're sparing the $50,000 for any information,
exactly,
for the armored truck driver who was killed. I'm so curious. Is that public information that if someone does give them a tip, does it, like, it says like so and so rewarded?
They're nonprofit,
or they, like, they don't name the people.
Public. Everything is, well, they don't know people, but they have to name the rewards. And when you're a nonprofit, especially if you get any kind of like federal money or city money or state money, any kind of that, now you're really up for disclosure. And what they do is, like, my old professor, what he would do is he did the coroner, he did the preachers, he, like, all these things. And you just look at the numbers and you're like, wait up, y'all getting $750 a year and you're paying the executive director, I think it's $213, excuse me, not $225, but it's like, what are you doing to deserve that?
Don't they have to prove in, like, a city budget meeting that's like, here's all the crimes we solved, here's why we deserve $750,000 a year for this program?
Only if there's oversight, and it's not a New Orleans program. It's a separate deal that gets funding from the city. And it's like on you and I's dime to do that.
So Crime Stoppers doesn't stop crime, and we can't afford to have the state troopers in the French Quarter anymore. And basically we're now supposed to be self-policed by just an ever-increasing amount of cameras. That's the plan.
That was a great logical progression.
That is the business plan.
That's called a police state.
Our wonderful mayor laid out, so he can still be sitting high and mighty for the tricentennial.
I got a nice little mayor story for you.
And he will leave. He leaves behind a legacy of less police, more cameras, and no stopped crime. Still no leads, by the way, on that French Quarter bank robbery.
Zero.
There's absolutely nothing.
Unless they're doing, like, we don't have any leads like that.
I don't think there's crafty enough.
So, without naming names, one of my clients is a music venue in this city. And several months ago, one of the bands was unloading their van or truck.
And they just got ripped off, right? Right there?
No, close. They were unloading their stuff, but they were blocking the street, just to unload their stuff and then leave. And there was a police car behind them, and then a black SUV, and the police car was whoop, 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 you know? And the band was like, dude, like, we're just unloading our stuff. And it was our wonderful mayor.
At the venue?
No, trying to get through. And they were like, oh, this music venue right here? I remember that. Just got a fucking letter in the mail that this music venue is getting audited, a sales tax audit from the city, for the last 3.5 years.
Just because it inconvenienced the mayor for a minute? Is that what you're saying?
That's what the owner thinks. I'm not saying a word. I just know that
could be a paranoid owner. If I own a music venue, I'm not making, what, $80 a year in my income? In this lovely,
It's a bar too, but like, right. You know, like, this random, like, and the audit notice says you are getting audited on sales tax, which is paid monthly. So they're getting audited for like 40 some odd periods, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, 3 plus 3 years, 36. And I saw the notice. I'm like, it's unbelievable. Like, what the fuck?
Wow.
So he was like, he told me about this incident.
And I hope Mayor Mitch comes and audits all the trash talk.
He told me about this incident.
Well, you guys have been throwing shade about me.
I would love a sit-down argument with – it'd be impossible. I've heard the city guys on other radio stations try to defend, especially through this whole statue nonsense, about what their plan was. And, oh, you lied to us about what was happening with these statues, and they were going to go somewhere, and there was a plan in place. Clearly there was no plan in place. This was one of those, like the Baltimore Colts leaving Baltimore in the middle of the night to go to Indianapolis. It was one of those kind of shady deals where it was just like under the cover of darkness, almost. But I would love just someone who represents the city or the mayor himself, just like, explain to me the less cop, more camera plan in New Orleans. That's really it. Oh, and they finally settled. The governor finally settled too, by the way, on another hot button state budget issue with the film tax credits.
That is a huge issue.
Oh.
Holy shit.
About 3 years too late to the game on that. Everybody left town. That's sorry. And no one understood how much that meant for the city in terms of like a working middle class with all the revenue it generated. All they saw was, we're paying Hollywood to film here. That's not fair. Those like fat, rich actors. They don't. We can't just pay them. The trickle down and the people employed by that, you couldn't calculate it.
That is like a true ripple. Like you have to really get into the numbers.
I know so many people that sold houses and went to Atlanta, went to L.A., went to Ohio, everywhere. And here we are finally settling on a cap of $180 million, and just too little, too late there. Bye bye. And the words of Billy Joel, say goodbye to Hollywood.
Or Eminem.
Oh, I don't know who
say
that
goodbye.
Is.
Say goodbye to Hollywood.
Yeah, so less movies, less cops, more cameras. More cameras, less movies. Isn't it great?
Oh, yeah, look Whoa! At you. Just laying, wow. lay up. I love this article that the Prophet's pulling up right now. 19 shot on I-10.
Speaking of violence and less cops in the city, more I-10 shootings. Since last year, 19 people have been shot on an interstate highway traveling at speed. How? And of course, when they pull these kind of articles together with the stats, they go back so as many months as it takes to get an impressive number. So it could be like 23 months and 8 days. In that span of time, we had 19 shootings on I-10.
I didn't have my glasses on, and I thought that said 2006. I'm like, that's not bad.
Yeah.
And it said 2016.
Freeway killers.
Horrendous.
Yeah, and that doesn't count those people, like when that stripper got chopped up and all her body parts were dropped on the road. It doesn't count when they dump bodies in the canal right off I-10. Out.
Stripper.
All that shit, where the guy got dragged under the car from the French Quarter to the West Bank. I guess I-10, not safe.
Is there like
I guess the safest place to be, ironically, on I-10 would be in the middle of gridlocked traffic, because someone who shoots can't go anywhere.
And people would see that.
The most dangerous time, I guess, to be on I-10 is when you're traveling at the fastest, ironically.
Did you hear about, this is not local, but just like bringing back to like the cameras and everything's filmed. Did you hear about LeBron James' house? It got vandalized.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
And there was somebody said, you stupid N-word, but, you know, on his gate in L.A. But there's no cameras. There's no nothing. Nobody knows anything.
Yeah, great. Did you do it? Are you admitting to it?
No, I'm just saying, like, everything is filmed these days. So it's like people getting shot.
Clearly not everything is filmed because no crime is solved.
Right. I was just trying to, like, you know, like on this.
Yeah, there's cameras up and down the entire interstate.
Exactly. On this show, we always talk about, especially me.
And in 2017.
Everything is filmed. Everything
in 2017, those cameras should be super HD.
Exactly.
And they should be able to pause that shooting video and zoom in and see every fleck of dirt on that guy's license plate. Even if it could be a stolen car. A lead's a lead. Man. But no, we're led to believe that. So I-10 is super dangerous. All of Mid-City, apparently, is incredibly dangerous. Armored car drivers, not safe.
Well, we learned that from Groundhog Day, too.
Yes, never.
but
that comes with the territory. As the weather gets hotter in New Orleans, the crime rate goes up.
It's like people are like more upset.
And just like that schedule, when you roll into summer New Orleans, that means all the restaurants that can't swing it have to shutter their doors before summer kicks in because they can't handle another dead summer. So we've had a lot of closings recently, and one of which was a place you were bitching out two episodes ago.
Does it make any sense now?
The Irish House has shut down on St. Charles. Been in business since about, what, 2011? I thought it was there a lot longer.
Dude, and it was – no, it was 11 is a good – it was, like, awesome. It was awesome several years ago.
That's not a bad location. Yeah, MLK.
Is it MLK in St. Charles?
Right.
But like, it's a.
Meanwhile, Voodoo Barbecue still open.
Rolling.
And
because they're slinging.
They're just
slinging barbecue.
Voodoo Barbecue is the worst barbecue in the city.
But they're slinging.
as evidenced by like the fleet of new barbecue places that open. Right. And there's like all over the place. There's fluff articles on NOLA or in Gambit.
There's two of them around the corner from here.
Of that are best barbecue in the city, the top 10 barbecue places in New Orleans. Voodoo Barbecue, never anywhere close to that list.
Yet, still slinging.
Has been around forever.
Still slinging.
And across the street from the dead Irish house.
You know what's funny is that what's by Voodoo Barbecue that is no longer open? That daiquiri store that like people
Black Dack.
It's like an office now.
Yeah. They had the city made them shut it
right,
down.
Right, I know.
Was that was
so
the
funny.
That was the center of pretty much every Mardi Gras shooting
straight
on
hood.
St. Charles.
Straight hood.
But on top of Irish House, I was at a place, was it pronounced Oxalis in the Bywater? That closed last week too. I was there for one of their last nights.
Anything that is beyond the
But there's Marinated. There's a long, long list of restaurants in the last, like, 2 years.
Because there's, like, 11,000 restaurants here.
Yeah, that have opened and shut in that area, the Bywater, because it's, like, they come out slinging, like, fancy cocktails, appeal to a young hipster class of people, and it's, like, hot for a month, and then they, like, suffer for 2 years and shut down. And then a new place. One place that's still open that blows my mind is that N7 place on St. Claude where they do high-end canned food. I don't
Hilarious.
Know how that continued. I'm waiting
High
for that.
High-end canned food?
Yes. Yes. If you don't want to spend an evening at Cheese Plates, we'll do high-end canned food, honey. Craft cocktails and canned food.
When Brokeback Brian.
That's what I'm worried about, like, with friends of ours who opened Turkey and the Wolf.
Oh.
That's what I'm worried. They've won a shit ton of awards over there, and they're doing very well. But who's to say in 6 months or a year? With the ever-shifting, like, rotation of put
it's
a...
so ridiculous.
Like, chef leaves that place, starts his own place
exactly.
over here. It goes for 2 years. He quits. 6 months later, the whole place just shuts down because they couldn't get a steady staff in there. And then it's just, like, this cycle of... I don't know who wins or loses in this situation. I guess if you're a chef, you can always just count on having a new restaurant to work at.
I heard a very successful chef say this one time. He said, you're either in the restaurant business or you're in the restaurant charity business. And, like, that's basically
Emeril
what
Lagasse
these people
went
doing.
On record that says he struggles to keep his restaurants open.
It's
he's world famous. And he makes a living off his goddamn spices.
Right. And it doesn't matter about your place of business. It just matters, like, if you own the building. Which is why McDonald's is so smart, because they own the property that their restaurant is on. So they don't have to pay rent.
But that ain't going
to
happen no more. Property's been bought up in New Orleans post-Katrina.
Right. No, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Ain't no upstart restaurant going to
exactly.
own their property.
Exactly. You're renting shit. And when you're renting shit, you have to charge X amount for your entrees or your drinks or whatever. And then when people don't come, you still got to pay that $10,000 a month for rent. How you do it?
I don't know who chooses to be in that. That's that side of the business.
That's
being a chef that can just cruise around, a line cook or whatever, hop from place to place as it opens and closes, to be a craft bartender who wins a bunch of awards.
I love when those places close, though. Love.
Well, love when they open. Love when, the,
love
we got
when
that,
they close.
We got that new spot that opened up a bar on Chapultepec, Port Orleans, right there next to Tipitina's, like a quasi-outdoor bar.
Get ready to fail.
So I got to think that between that place, Chop Yard, and NOLA Tap Room has been taking a hit with the outdoor bars, because they're just jumping on Chapultepec up the whole.
Again, Chop Yard, owner owns the entire block.
Right. So
no rent.
It's the same deal. Like, how do more restaurants and more bars continue to open in a city that loses a population?
Idiots.
And has the brain drain from everyone who graduates colleges here always leaving. The population never goes up. They do not stay. So I don't... it's just one of those things. But more cameras.
Oh, yeah, but plenty more of those.
Less people, less cops, more cameras.
Oh, man, I've been seeing them. Any smooth street that you drive on, like Orleans or Esplanade, they always got the cop cars right there. The cop camera cars.
Oh, I've seen it.
They're all in Mid-City, because Mid-City...
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
I was on... you know, Calliope becomes the expressway.
Right.
As you're going from...
Yep.
From downtown out towards Harrison.
Exactly.
Right when that opens up after the dome.
Yep.
So it was right there.
That's another one. because there's no cameras there, and it's just like a really like it's a that's a place where
and
you
they
can drive
don't them. Always put that they have that little like folding sign like restaurants have at their front door with their brunch specials. They have that they're supposed to put like 100 feet in front of the car saying your own video, and I've only seen that once or twice.
That's the only street in the city that you can drive a Lamborghini on.
And here's something I'm not going to say do this, but travel around with a dozen eggs and just smack those cars as you drive past them. If you have a passenger, just like load up, window down, talk, 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 talk. Just do it. Yeah, just go for it. Like I just
is it, no
I'll take that ticket. What is that ticket? What is it? Vandalism?
Yeah,
destruction
big
of like
that'd
city
be a
property.
Big one. Yep, that'd be
worth it.
That'd be a big one.
Worth it.
Just make sure that you have your license plate taped over.
Well, I was thinking because we talked about the Kathy Griffin thing with the decapitated Donald Trump, and I was thinking like, what's something I could do like that with Mayor Mitch? I'm not gonna do a decapitated Mayor Mitch. I want to do like a Mayor Mitch suffocating in cameras. Like drowning in cameras. Thank you. Okay, so another story we got on the NOLA Trash Talk Facebook page. We pulled up another crime story. You know, only good news on this show. Chalmette mother and son booked on drugs and weapons charges. Not really news in this city so much, but Steven, you said you got an angle on this? I pulled the article up here.
No, it's just I don't have an angle on it. I just thought it was funny because, you know, like, you ever seen Super Troopers before?
They had 26 grand in cash.
You ever seen Super Troopers?
Yes, of course.
And when they make the big bust, the mayor comes in there and he's like, boom, boom. And he jerks the shotgun or he like loads it. And then they take the picture. Look at the picture real quick.
I know. It's impressive.
Why did they put two iPhones
that
over
looks
there?
Like my, that looks like my coffee table. Oh, yeah. They got the two
they
iPhones.
Put two iPhones and some rolling papers and like a battery.
The poker chips?
And poker chips.
Poker chips in the middle.
Like, I get the marijuana and the money, but like iPhones and batteries and rolling papers?
Oh, the St. Bernard Police Department must have been really patting themselves on the back for this one. Good Lord, they haven't solved a crime, but just as bad as NOPD. Thanks.
Yo, actually, I heard these are the same cast that had business with Keith.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding. terrible.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I'm sure everyone in Chalmette knows each other.
They absolutely
holla back, St. Bernard Parish, where the hottest white boys come from.
But I love the mugshots because look at my man with the dreads. Dude's got the shiniest white smile ever. White
he's
teeth,
got
excuse
really
me.
Really good teeth, yeah.
Dude, he really does.
Yeah. Well, he's got 26 grand in cash. He better have nice teeth.
I'd be laughing too, or smiling.
So, cruising along then. Oh, there's our story about Bayou Country Fest completely failed. I have a thing I wanted to jump on about our last week discussion with the whole comparing the Confederacy to Nazis.
Yes, there were some questions.
About what?
About that.
Regarding who?
Just your transitions, that's all.
How do you mean?
Did
somebody ask you regarding the show?
Correct. There were some questions that I couldn't answer. It was my birthday.
All right, repeat the questions to me. I will answer them now.
I don't even remember them.
Fantastic. Well, I had another thing I was wondering when it comes to wearing that teacher got fired for wearing different German paraphernalia, iron crosses and such. What's the difference between wearing that kind of stuff and then wearing like a Star Wars Imperial symbol T-shirt? Or the
one happened, one didn't.
Well, no. And then on top of that, one further, wearing a Hydra T-shirt from Marvel Comics, which was the evil German thing in this Captain America history
that Stan Lee created,
but it represents Nazis and the Galactic Empire in Star Wars is space Nazis. Look at the last Star Wars movie where they have the big rally.
That was awesome.
And the giant flags.
That was awesome.
And everybody's standing in perfect lines. It's like, okay, we got it. Empire, space Nazis. Darth Vader is basically Dark Father in German. And I looked it up. But I know that's more of a reach. The Marvel thing though is Nazis, Hydra. Nazis. That's kind of it. You can go right now on eBay or anywhere, go to Hot Topic. You can get a Hydra.
Hydra.
You can get a Hydra T-shirt that says "Hail Hydra."
Wow.
No. Wow. So I was wondering, did anybody else ever think about this? Like, is that it's like the whole punch a Nazi thing? Like, we're going to be super judgmental about anybody possibly leaning too far to the right in our left crazed world in the shadow of Donald Trump. where, you know, the Bernie Sanders world. So we're really picky on who is a Nazi, and we'll call anyone a Nazi. I would say somebody in a Hydra T-shirt at Crescent City Comics, he knows what it is. They're Nazis.
Yep.
So I looked it up. You can just like I started typing Hydra T-shirt into Google, and one of the fields autofilled with Hydra T-shirt controversy.
Yep.
You know about this already?
No, I know how Google likes to think for us these days.
So I was like, oh no, I thought, oh, sweet, somebody else has thought about this before. I'm like, I wonder what happened. Turns out in April, this past, a month and a half ago, Marvel put out its newest Captain America series or whatever that is Captain America, like, revealing he's a Hydra agent. And part of the promo
for it
was they were asking comic book stops to shop workers to wear Hydra T-shirts, and people were refusing to do that.
They're not doing that
as part of Marvel's promotion for this new story arc where Captain America is a turncoat secret Hydra agent. And I was just but still, people weren't asking the other questions of just like wearing Hydra T-shirts or Hydra hoodies. That's worse, I think, than an Iron Cross if you're in a biker group. It's
sneak tip, though. It's like it's below the radar because, again...
That's what we talked about last week. You could dig up some, like, Aryan symbols that nobody would know. They're just lesser known. And wear that to, you know, the Gemini Lounge.
Our Tool T-shirts or our Pantera T-shirts.
Yeah, with Confederate flags. Right. And nobody has made more money off the Confederate flag and the pot leaf than Phil Anselmo. I promise you that. It's called lowest common denominator marketing, and if you fell for it, I mean, seriously, some of his band's album covers are just a Confederate flag with a pot leaf. Two unrelated things. So what does that say? Like, I like to smoke weed, do nothing all day, and I hate black people? That's what that tells me? Meanwhile, on the other side of the musical genre fence in hip-hop, it's all pot leaves everywhere, too, on that one. It's just so you guys got so much in common. What's with the hate?
I mean, I always said that country music and rap are like the same thing, just on two different sides of the plane, you know?
I had a worse explanation about that. It might be outdated now, but like say 10 years ago, that the most popular things on the radio or music in general was country and rap because they represent extremes of demographics that are poor, people that are too poor to download music for free. That sounds awful, but think about it. Country music, the people that will have the most money put behind them are the people who sell the most CDs.
Right.
And same with hip-hop. And all you got to do is go to your Walmart, go drive 100 miles into the backest woods area of Louisiana, find their Walmart, walk into what's left of their music section, and they're going to have your top 10 bestsellers. And it's going to be either country or that rap R&B Beyonce kind of thing.
Drake.
Or Drake, whatever. Got it. Drake, Pitbull, Beyonce.
Right.
Whatever is in that nebulous zone. So, because they're still moving product enough that they're on a shelf at Walmart, which is only reserved now for the most well-known people. So all the people in between that, all the people who have computers and know how to download music, college kids, all the music college kids listen to, or did listen to, as I said, I came up with this 10 years ago, they... all that stuff, those people don't make any money, those artists, because their fan bases have laptops with Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
But all the people who don't still buy their music at Walmart, and thus you get the two extremes promoted, country music or hip-hop R&B.
And then you start doing country, hip-hop.
And like, then it gets skewed even more, because then your country artists start slapping flags on their album art.
Well, like Nelly will do something like with Tim McGraw.
And then like a hip-hop album, a guy will do his album art where he has a black hoodie on and like a fist in the air, and now it's a whole social thing. It's not just fucking music. And then people just go off the rails about what's going on in the country. So that's just something I've always wondered. I don't know how I went from Hydra T-shirts to country music.
I love it.
But it's,
I love it. I try to find your buttons every week, and I'm like, press this button.
Well, I really meant to bring up the whole Hydra and Imperial symbol thing last week.
I got to look that up because I'm not like a comic guy. I do know that
Hydra is the secret organization within the SS, within Nazi Germany, in Captain America's origin story, that is like the most evilest part of the Nazis, where Red Skull is the leader. Once again,
Red Skull.
Red Skull t-shirt. How is – it's a fictional character.
Red Skull.
Yes, but how is that – you're wearing a Nazi character on a shirt, and that shirt can be purchased at a shopping mall.
But it's made up, though. Red Skull didn't kill 6 million Jews.
Okay. All right. All right.
Apparently.
I'll go one further.
No, excuse me. Allegedly.
let's go buy a Red Skull t-shirt and walk around with it.
You probably get high fives from the hipsters.
That'd be really... People aren't that dumb. But it's the same... But, like, Star Wars is space Nazis with the Empire. Yeah. So, if you've got a Darth Vader t-shirt... Darth Vader killed Jedis. Nazis killed Jews. Did you see in the...
We need to put all their pictures up on the wall and say... What is the difference between all these people?
If it's okay, if the difference of the outrage level is like, oh, it's fictional versus non-fictional, well, then I'm just going to invent some Nazi thing, some cartoon Nazi super weapon, invent it myself, draw it, some crazy thing, put it on a t-shirt, and I guess as long as there's no swastika on it, is that why? Because the Hydra symbol doesn't have a swastika somewhere hidden in it? It's like a skull with the octopus things, if you've ever seen it.
I have. I remember it now.
I don't know. It's but not the hill I want to die on, but I still want to.
But speaking of comics, I heard Wonder Woman is doing well with the critics.
I know. That's great. You know what? But unfortunately, because of all the female superhero weight attached to it, we need female role models, something that I probably heard.
Amy Schumer wasn't in it, so we're good.
10 years
okay.
ago,
we're
15
good.
Years ago, 20 years ago. Oh, Catwoman's going to be Batman's villain in the Batman sequel. Female empowerment, like 30 years ago. Alien, Sigourney Weaver was the female hero. That was 1979. We didn't have – so anyway, for some reason, we need female heroes these days. And, yeah, I heard it's a decent movie because the other DC movies have set the bar so low. But, I mean, great. I still think it's going to underperform just because America's sexist.
My female hero is Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, you were supposed to say your wife.
No. Because she attempted and failed multiple times.
She took it on the chin. She took it on the chin and walked away.
I wish she would just go away for life.
She did go away.
Oh. No, I just the complete goof right there. No, I'm happy that Wonder Woman is doing well, but it just goes to show that, like, our movie culture these days is, like, horrendous. It's like we have nothing but Marvel movies now.
And when it's this hot in Louisiana this time of year, you want to go to the movies, and Jesus, they've just not made
they
it
are
fun.
Horrendous. Speaking of horrendous, Josh? The Prophet often questions me on my music knowledge, which is just hilarious.
Knowledge isn't really necessary in New Orleans. You go into the sweaty back room of a bar and you see the same jazz band, brass band, play the same set they played 15 years ago.
But getting back on, like, the comic thing, I made a...
You walk out smelling worse than if you left a gym.
I made a comment to the Prophet last Thursday that I saw Dr. Strangelove, and he's like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. and I meant to say Dr. Strangelove.
But fun fact.
That's DC, though.
The opening movie quote for this episode was from Dr. Strangelove.
Oh.
So I threw it back at you. Of course, you wouldn't have recognized
it. Of course,
it,
I wouldn't.
Because you've never seen Dr. Strangelove. You saw Dr. Strange.
Right. And these two, I said these two idiots, but I'm the idiot. Prophet and Uncle Fester, who's been on the show once, were like, you did not see Dr. Strangelove. You did not.
I knew it.
And like, I was like, of course I did. I was like, Fester. Like, of course I did. And like, no, that's Doctor Strange. Doctor Strangelove was directed by Stanley Kubrick, and I immediately recoiled again. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, driving down Chabotulas, when we talk about music venues, I nothing makes me feel more disconnected from, like, the local human race here than driving, like, sitting at the stoplight next to Tips, and there's just, like, a crowd of people lined up outside, and it's like...
And an auto body shop next door, and there's cars.
No, and then I pass the light of Tips, and then we're driving past Hanson's Snowballs, and there's a line of block
walk. Oh, come in the other way, okay.
And then I'm just like, why do you guys want to... Why do you want these things? Why do you want to hear Rebirth for the... Or what? Free Fridays at Tips. You know, quality music is when you don't have to pay for it. And then, but why are you going to stand in line for an hour for flavored ice? Why? I will go make you some. I will go buy the ingredients.
It's Hanson's, dude.
No. So I just feel disconnected from everyone. And just I'll just go home and I'll pretend.
Did you know who? Do you know who the Saints are opening up with this year?
The preseason or the real season?
The real season, the home opener,
Patriots, right?
Yep.
I had a dream. I'm going to predict it here, much like I'm predicting for the NBA Finals, Cleveland Game 7, over and done.
Right, but who? What's your prediction on the same game?
This is going to sound really fucked up with all the trash talk, but I had a dream like two months ago that I was watching the Saints play. I didn't know the schedule wasn't out at the time. I just had a dream I was watching a Saints game, like, and we were up two touchdowns on the Patriots. It's a very specific play. We're up two touchdowns. We're winning. Drew throws a pick six. And, like, we immediately, like, give up hope. Like, oh, it's there it goes. It's over now. And then the Patriots guy on his return run fumbles the pick six. And then one of our players scoops it up and, like, gets out of bounds with it. But it, like...
That actually happened in one of our games, actually.
But this was a very specific, like, Saints-Patriot... like, a very lucid dream I had. And I woke up and I just, like, I need to remember this.
This actually happened in a Saints game when we won the Super Bowl. Actually happened.
With the Patriots?
With the Redskins.
Oh yeah, I think I remember that
we
game.
Were losing our ass.
Yeah, the Super
on
Bowl,
the, road.
The Super Bowl year for the Saints, where we almost lost to the Redskins. That's one of those things where that whole season was just like lucky breaks, like
right.
Nonstop for us.
And the wide, like there was a pick six, or there was a pick, and the wide receiver who got like just took the ball from the cornerback.
I remember
and
that. But yeah, so I had this very specific dream about the Saints and the Patriots, and like this like emotional like mood swing of like. We're going to beat the Patriots. Oh, God damn it, Drew. You threw it. And then another fumble. And it was so specific that I'm making sure I remember this. And then lo and behold, the schedule came out and we're playing the Patriots.
Well,
so I'm like, if this ever happens in the game, then you disregard this conversation. But if this shit happens.
The McJeezys are hosting 16 people from Boston for that weekend.
That's in isn't that in Boston? Though,
no,
the game?
It's here.
So that's not the home opener. That's the first.
No, it's our home opener.
We don't play at home until like the third week.
That's the first game,
right?
The Pats and Mrs. McJeezy went and bought 16 tickets to the Saints game because you know her people from Boston. So it's going to be really.
Well, now I get the big league you because guess we'll be hanging out of that game for free because that's his job.
I'm not big leaguing anybody.
I tell you what, this will be.
I saw a credit card charge for six. How much do you think 16 tickets in a row was?
Oh my god! That's at 16 times like what 300?
Yeah, it was big. It was like it was like 200 a piece.
Just you with your 16 Saints tickets and your lunches at Commanders.
Didn't pay for it. Didn't pay for it.
So last night, though, speaking of Saints home games, I was in the Superdome by myself in the dark.
That is
doing some work.
That's the loneliest place ever.
Oh, you guys want to have a spiritual experience? Get into the Superdome and then kill the power and just
I've done it.
Be in the bowl by yourself, unescorted.
I was escorted. I'm sorry, because my buddies worked for the Saints and like he brought us in the locker room and shit. And like,
and by the way,
out to the middle when it was dark and just looked up.
And when nothing's going on over
right.
there, you think air conditioning's running?
Nothing's running.
Joshua was up there in the catwalks. Trying to screw shit together, just
I wasn't in the catwalks. I was in the center field.
I was walking around the bowl too and stuff. But I'm just like I'm up in the stands walking around because I'm constantly going to one end to the other, and it just like when I killed certain lights, it was like pitch black, and I'm the only guy. There's a security guard, okay, all the way on the back loading gate. There's no one else. And I'm just like, it. Yeah, I mean, if the Superdome was ever haunted, that would be the time they'd come and get me. Because
aliens, especially
the
aliens, get you. They're coming to get you.
The phantoms, all those people that killed themselves after Katrina, they're coming. I don't know who else. I'm assuming more people than that have probably died in the Superdome. Heart attacks during Saints games for sure.
How many would it be to interview somebody who was in the dome for Katrina?
Like
in the dome.
I'm sure it was a hellish experience, but I kind of wish I had went through that. In like a,
you could have done it because you're a minimalist.
Then I would have been a part of the club, you know. We'd get together every year.
Yeah.
All of our dome survivors. But
people that didn't get shot.
Well, let's hope we make it to next without getting shot. Next week, by the way, we'll be 150. Wow. Episode number 150.
Yeah, I get it. But we might not do one till Monday, though.
Yeah, we'll work it out. Because
I'm going to be in New Hampshire, kid.
We got a crazy schedule. But this was episode 149 of NOLA Trash Talk. I was the prophet, Joshua.
Steve Jay-Z.
And this is that It's that song that Stephen thinks was in the 90s romantic comedies.
Yes, she's all that.
It wasn't. We'll see you next week, hopefully.